Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Chandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
Man, welcome to Compass. We are in a message series called Upgraded. And here's the deal. An upgrade is an improvement on something that already exists in our lives. And we all know what that's like because there have been things in all of our lives that we have upgraded. We've upgraded our technology. How many of you guys still watch a big, fat, gigantic tube TV? Nobody, right? Actually, if you raised your hand, I'm sorry for you, sir. I want to buy you a flat screen just because. But most of us have upgraded to a high-def TV. That's kind of the standard now. We upgrade our technology. We upgrade our hairstyles. Those of us who can upgrade our hairstyles. And those of us who can't upgrade our hairstyles, we upgrade our facial hairstyles. We upgrade all sorts of things in our lives. There's all sorts of areas in our lives where we take what exists and we make it better. And there are opportunities in our lives for spiritual upgrades as well. In fact, God has spiritual upgrades that he wants to see happen in our lives as well. Now, there is one specific major upgrade that's happened in my lifetime that has just been, I think it's been like the biggest upgrade, the most impactful thing that really has happened for me and probably for the world. And that is the upgrade to smartphones. Does anybody remember like what it was like to have a landline? Like I remember when I was in junior high and high school, if I had play practice or track practice or something after school, maybe you had to do this too. This is what would happen. You'd finish play practice and then you'd go to the main lobby of your school and you'd get on the payphone. Now a payphone was a thing kids that you used to put quarters into and then you could make a phone call from. And so what I would do is I'd get on the payphone and I would dial 0 and then I would dial my phone number. And that was called a collect call. And I would call and basically the operator would get on the phone. And as soon as my mom answered the phone, the operator would say, "You have a collect call from your son, Chris. Would you like to accept the charges?" And it's what you'd do if you didn't have quarters. Now, anytime I called my mom with a collect call from the school, she would say, "No, I will not accept the charges," because that was my cue that she needed to come and pick me up from school, that I was done. And that was how we hacked the system back then, before real technology. But now smartphones have changed everything. I mean, my kids walk around with a smartphone all the time. Now, like when I was a kid, my parents had no idea where I was. They had no idea how to get a hold of me. I mean, if they needed to, they might go down a list of my friends and like call their house and talk to their moms and say, "Is Christopher over there? You know, we're looking for him." I don't know. Nowadays, I'm mad at my kids if I text them and they don't respond in 30 seconds. Because then I'm calling them like, "This is why you have a phone, is so that you will respond to me immediately." Smartphones, man, they have changed the game. And it's not just about, you know, getting someone on the phone. Our smartphones are now how we interact with each other socially. I mean, think about social networking and social media. We follow people, we post pictures. Smartphones are, I mean, they're basically computers that we have on us. My smartphone here, I know you don't believe this, but I actually do have a timer up here so that I don't go over. So I try to hold myself accountable to time up here. But we listen to music on our phones, we watch TV on our phones. It's just smartphones have completely changed the game. The upgrade from a landline phone to smartphones has been huge. And equally huge was what we talked about last week, was the first spiritual upgrade that God has for us. It was a sea change upgrade. It was the upgrade from no relationship with God, or a relationship with God that was separated because we didn't meet his standard, or we were separated with God because of our sin, to upgrading to a relationship with God where we are totally and completely accepted by him with no preconditions. An upgrade from a relationship where we're totally separated by God to a relationship where we can know him perfectly and our relationship with him where we are completely accepted. And so upgrade one, we talked about this last week, was that we became justified. Upgrade one is we became justified, a spiritual word that basically means that God made it so that it was just as if we had never sinned. Because what Jesus did is Jesus lived a perfect life and then he took his righteousness. And he looked at our sinfulness and he said, "Here, take mine and I'll take yours." And so when God looks at us now, he doesn't see sinful, broken, separated, gross us. He sees Jesus who was perfect. And so now in God's sight, because of what Jesus did for us, we've been justified. And that means this, like if you said, "Jesus, I believe in you, I trust you, and I'm surrendering my life to you," that means that now when God looks at you, it's as if you had never sinned. It means when you go home today and you yell at your kids and you're like, "Oh, stink, I got angry, I shouldn't have done that, I sinned, I blew it," that when God looks at you, he's like, "You know what, I still see you as if you were my perfect son, Jesus. I see you as if you had never sinned, because my relationship with you has now been upgraded from separated to totally accepted because of what Jesus did for us. But here's the thing, upgrading to a smartphone is not really the end of the story when it comes to that technology, right? Because when you get a smartphone, it's awesome, it's great, it can do all of those incredible things. But every 3 or 4 months, this little window pops up on your smartphone and it says this, what's up on the screen? It says there's a software update available. Every 3 or 4 months, it pops up and it says there's a new upgrade, a new update available to the software on your phone, and you have a choice. You can either install now or you can click later. No one clicks details unless you're a conspiracy theorist, which if that's you, great, good for you. But install now or later. Now, I suspect that for many of us, that later button is probably the easiest button to push, right? Because a lot of times it's like I'm busy, I'm in the middle of Candy Crush right now, and I can't really update this right this second. Or I'm working on my phone, or I'm too busy, it's gonna take too much time. And so it's just easy later to hit that later button and to pass on those updates. But here's the thing about your smartphone. The reason your smartphone is smart is in part is because it can continue to update its software to continually be better in order to be the technology that the creators designed it and created it to be. So the intention of your smartphone designer, the intention of the creator of your smartphone was that it can be used for all sorts of things in your life and that it functions effectively and that it functions well. And they realized that the only way to do that was to constantly be updating it, to constantly be improving on it and making it better. I mean, think about this. When you get a new phone, a new iPad or iPod, something like that, and you open it up fresh out of the box and you turn it on and it says hello in all those different languages, what is literally the first thing that it does as soon as it gets set up? It says, I need to search for updates. And it starts looking for new software patches that it needs to plug in so that it can function the way it was intended to function. Now, my kids, they have an app that we have put on their phone, and parents, this is a gift to you. If you're a kid, I apologize, but this is happening. There's an app that my kids put on their phone. It's called Our Pact, and it's an app that allows us to control what our kids are doing on their phone. So if I want to, like, I could literally pop out my phone right now, and I could say, you know what, Calvin, your phone's off. You're done. And it's just nothing but texting and calls. My kids hate it. I love it. It's the best. And so, but to put the Our Pact app on my kid's phone, in order to make it work, to put that functionality in my phone and in my kid's phone to make it be the best that it could be, we literally had to update the phone completely, put a whole new software update and install that software in. It was just a requirement to be current and to function the best way they can. Our phones have to be updated. And here's what's interesting about that too, is you can upgrade your phone. You can get a brand new cell phone that is top of the line. And you can have that thing for just a couple months. You could have an upgraded phone, but you could still have outdated software. You could have a brand new state-of-the-art phone and still be outdated when it comes to the software that's driving that phone. And similarly, you can have spiritually upgraded your life and still be spiritually outdated with what God wants to do in your life. You can still be spiritually upgraded and spiritually outdated at the same time. And you may have had the first spiritual upgrade that comes from that entering into a new relationship with God through Jesus. And that is like, that's the big one, right? That's like all new hardware. That's as big as going from no smartphone to getting a brand new iPhone. That is a huge hardware update in your life. And you can have that a hardware update in your life, and yet there can still be spiritual updates in your life that you are missing out on. Your relationship with God is new, but this second spiritual upgrade that God has for you still has to happen in order for your life to realize the full potential that Jesus intended for us. So here's what that means, just as far as today goes. That means that today I'm primarily talking to Christians, primarily talking to people who have gone through that very first spiritual upgrade. So if you're not a Christian here today, if you came with mom or dad or somebody, man, you can just sit back because everybody loves hearing somebody else get, you know, have their finger wagged in their face. So you can enjoy today and sit back and you can hear how Christians are supposed to be and how Christians are supposed to act so that you can hold your Christian friends or family accountable someday. So we're going to take a look at a letter that the Apostle Peter wrote. Now, Peter was one of his number one disciples. He was one of Jesus's closest friends. He walked with Jesus when Jesus was alive and on the earth. And then after that, Peter became one of the primary leaders of the church in the first century, primary drivers of it. And what a lot of those guys did, the apostles and the disciples, when the church started, they would send these letters to people all around the ancient world, trying to give them instruction and guidance on what it meant to be a Christian. What did it look like to be a follower of Jesus in their context? Because at that time, there was no internet, you know, there was no Bible app, there was no Google. And so people, in order for them to understand and know things, they had to be spread out. And so they would write these letters and they would pass them around from church to church. And Peter wrote a letter to the churches, and it's in a book of the New Testament called 1 Peter. And he starts out this letter talking about this first upgrade that we experience in our life, being justified, just as if we had never sinned. And how, like, this new relationship with God, he says this, he calls it the good news. And he says, this good news has been announced to you. You've had this first spiritual upgrade. Your life has changed. Your whole hardware has been upgraded and transformed. You've been justified to God, upgraded. And then Peter continues. He moves on from there because Peter understood what we're talking about in this message series is that each of these spiritual upgrades are progressive. You take step one, and then after step one, you take step two, and then step three. And Peter starts talking to them about step two in 1 Peter 1:14. And he says this, because this good news has been announced to you, so you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. So spiritual upgrade two, here's what we know about it right out of the gate from what Peter's saying. We know this, that there is a difference that needs to happen in our lives between spiritual upgrade one and spiritual upgrade two. That when God justifies us, when he saves us, when he repairs our relationship with him, that something should change in us. There should be a difference in what our lives look like and how our lives appear. And Peter, I mean, he's straight up about it. He's like, you need to be obedient children to God. And here's what that means. That means the way you used to live, you can't live like that anymore. Now that you've been justified, now that your life has been set free by God and he looks at you as if you've never sinned, now you need to live differently. And all the Christians that Peter wrote this to, well, they were like, well, hold on a second. I mean, I thought this whole thing was just about not rules and not law, right? I thought this thing was like, Jesus accepted me as I was, and I said, Jesus, I'm accepting you as my Lord and Savior into my life, and I was justified before God, and now it's as if I'd never sinned, and now we're good, and my relationship with God is secured. You never said anything about like having to like follow rules again. I thought we were done with the rules. I thought the whole letter of the law thing was a thing of the past and that a relationship with God was just that. It was a relationship. Here we go. You know, I knew Christianity was all about rules. But Peter continues on and he elaborates on this. And he says, but now because you've been upgraded, now because God's calling you to a different life, to a life of obedience in him, you must be holy. Everybody say holy. You must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. Now that word holy is, I don't know, it's a little bit loaded. It's kind of like the word sin, right? You say the word sin to people and it's like, oh, that's, I don't like being told like I sin. Sin, I don't like it. And holy is a little bit the same. Holiness conjures up images of like, you know, the old like tent revivals of the 1920s and like, you know, women in long denim skirts with buns and no makeup. And that's holy, right? That's like what that image conjures up. And the word holy kind of conjures up images of, you know, behavior. And holiness really is just about managing our behavior, managing our sin. And so, you know, we think about holiness as kind of this thing that mitigates or reduces things to a set of moral behaviors, right? And so for these purposes, like the moral behavior is really for the modern church that we look at holiness. It's sexual purity. It's holiness is how we deal with our finances and how we deal with generosity. And holiness is prayer. And as long as I live by those moral behaviors and those moral standards, then I'm holy. And, you know, if I don't live by those moral standards, then I am not holy. And here's the thing about holiness. Holiness, it encompasses those things, that our moral behaviors are part of holiness. That is a factor in holiness, but it's an incomplete picture of what it means to be holy. And that's why it's an incomplete picture about what Peter is really talking about. Because when Peter says, don't live the way you used to, He's not saying, here's the checklist of the things you used to do, and you need to scratch those off and stop doing those things anymore. It doesn't just stop there, because Peter's talking about something so much bigger than just our moral behaviors. This is what holy really means in the Bible context. Holy as a word, it doesn't mean moral behaviors, activities. It literally means to separate. It means something that is separated or consecrated to. When something is holy to God, that means it is set apart exclusively for God's use. Something that is holy is set apart completely for the use of the person or the thing that it has been set apart for. I think the best picture of holiness really is marriage. We were at a wedding last night, and we're watching, Dan and Peggy getting married, and they're sharing their vows. And what they're doing when they share their vows, when they put those rings on each other, is they are setting themselves aside for each other. That, when Dan does his vows, and I've done a lot of weddings this summer, so when they get up and say their vows, when they say, here's the vows, it says, I commit myself to you all that I am and all that I have and all that I will ever be for all time. I'm setting myself apart as holy for you. And then she says her vows, that all that I am, all that I have, and all that I will ever be for all time. I'm setting myself apart as separated for you. There's no one else in my life who has the access to me now that you have, because I've set myself apart for you. And holiness, as it relates to our relationship with God. In fact, holiness, this second spiritual upgrade that God has for us, is just like marriage. It's a relationship with God where we look at God and we say, God, for you, all that I have, all that I am, and all that I will ever be for all time is yours. I'm set apart. I'm put aside specifically for you. And here's the thing, that's just part of what holiness is. Holiness is just in part being set apart for God and who he is, but at the bottom of it, it's more than that. Being holy is this radical, all-encompassing claim on our lives, a radical all-encompassing claim on the things that we love, on the things that we value. It's an all-encompassing claim on our very identities, being set apart to God. And to be holy means that all we have and that all we are belongs to God. It doesn't belong to ourselves anymore. And that every aspect of our lives can now be shaped by God and directed by God and directed toward God. It's not just about, a commitment to God of following the rules, but it's this massive commitment of God of setting apart our lives to him. But there's a second aspect to holiness that I think is absolutely just as important, right? Because setting ourselves apart to God and saying, God, I am completely yours, that's a decision, that's a mindset, that's a choice that we make every single day. But then there's an outcome of holiness when we set ourselves apart to God. And Peter talks about it when he says that the scriptures say, you must be holy. Why? Because I am holy. There's this aspect of this where God is saying, I want you to be like me. Paul says this in Romans chapter 8, and he says this, for God knew his people in advance, and he chose them what? He chose them to become like him. If you are in a relationship with Jesus, if you are a follower of Jesus, and your relationship with God is new, this is God's intent for you. For you to become like Jesus. That's the goal. And what's crazy about this is, and I think sometimes we reduce our relationship with God to the bare minimum of getting to heaven, right? I think that sometimes that's like the goal. And it's like, what do I need to do to get into heaven? What do I need to do to cross that threshold? And we think that God thinks the same way. God's like, boy, I just want them to be able to cross that line so they make it into heaven. And once they do that, it's hands off, everything's good. And here's the thing with God, getting into heaven is the lowest bar. I mean, that getting into heaven is literally, that's just the entry into the experience with him. Because what God has and what God wants is something so much more for you. God wants you to change. God's intention for you is for your life to be different than it was before. It's not just to say, okay, I made it into heaven, I'm good. You know, now I can live the way I wanted to. That's not God's intent for you. God's intent for you is to have a life where you look like him. And here's the word for this. This is another big theological word I'm gonna throw at you. It's a word called sanctification. Everybody say sanctification. Say sanctified. Oh man, it's old school, churchy in here, I love it. This is what sanctified means, sanctification. Sanctification means that we are in the process of becoming like Jesus more and more. Being sanctified means that you are in the process of becoming like Jesus. And this is upgrade number two in our life. Upgrade number one, remember, is that we were justified. God made it just as if we had never sinned. We crossed over into a new relationship with him. But this second upgrade, this ongoing upgrade, the updates to our software that God has built into us, that he wants us to keep following and keep installing into our lives, is this continuing process of sanctification, of becoming more like Jesus. And this is what's cool about this word, sanctified. It literally means saint-like. Like, sanctified is derived from the same word as saint. God wants you to become more saint-like, more like Jesus, transformed into his image. But here's the thing, check this out. This is what Paul says again in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and kind of talking about this. He says, and this is very similar to what Peter is saying. He says, don't conform to the pattern of this world. Don't live like you used to anymore, since you've crossed over from death into life. Don't do those old things. Put aside your old way of living, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's this expectation that we're gonna change. There's this expectation that we're gonna be transformed. When you see a caterpillar get into its little cocoon, there's an expectation that a caterpillar is not gonna crawl out of that cocoon. The expectation is that a butterfly is gonna come out of it. And that's exactly what God's intention for you as a follower of Jesus is that you are gonna be transformed. But check this out. This is what's in that translation. We see, but be transformed, right? But in the original Greek, this is what a better translation of that, because he's speaking in the present tense. That could be better translated, be being transformed. Be being transformed. It's active. It means this, is that today, God's intention for me is for me to be in the process of being transformed. It's not like it's not a one-time thing. It's not a thing where I say yes to Jesus, I'm transformed and I'm totally good and my life is set. It's an ongoing, daily, consistent process of us being transformed. We wake up in the morning and we begin that day's process of being transformed into the image of Jesus. Upgrade one, being justified, happens in a moment. Upgrade two, being sanctified, being made holy, is a process in our lives that happens every single day. It's just like the software on your phone. God pops up that little image in your life. He says, I got an update for you because I want to make you holy. I want to make you like Jesus. I want your life to be transformed. And it says, install now or later. And we get the opportunity to take our pick. Do we want to install now or do we want to install later? Peter, he continues to kind of like close out, and I'm gonna wrap up here very quickly. Peter, he finishes this passage that he's talking about to people about being transformed or being holy, and he kind of creates an image of what this looks like in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 through 3, and he says this, so what does it look like to be transformed? What does it look like to be in the image of Jesus? What will your life be? He says, get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with it. Be done with deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. You know what's awesome about that? Is that we would think, you know, he'd be like, man, get rid of murder. Don't murder people. Come on. Get rid of like rape and sexual assault. Don't do those things, guys. Come on. Everybody knows those things are bad. And don't get rid of like stealing from people and like, you know, robbing convenience stores. Don't do that, guys. And we think, oh man, of course, obviously, get rid of all those big things. But Peter, he's like, no, holiness is not just knocking out the big things that we think are big deals. Holiness is about letting God root down into the smallest aspects of our lives, into the things that are just second nature to us, in getting rid of all deceit, getting rid of white lies, getting rid of the things that we're just keeping away from other people because we don't want them to know. Hypocrisy, get rid of jealousy, and this is, get rid of all unkind speech. To be like Jesus, to look like Jesus, means to allow God to get down into the finest details of our lives, the smallest little things in our lives, not just the big, awful sin issues that everyone in the world can agree on, but allowing God to get in and deal with the smallest details of unkind speech. Sitting in your car, driving home, and being like, you know what, I saw Chris after service, and he was talking to someone else, and I made eye contact with him, but he didn't talk to me. He's kind of a jerk. I mean, you should get rid of that because it hurts my feelings, but Peter's like, if you want to be like Jesus, if you want to transform into the image of Jesus, you need to be aware of what holiness is, and holiness is being completely set aside to God. And being completely set aside to God means this, that in every aspect of your life, he has access. And so Peter continues, he says, like newborn babies, you must crave spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. You know what that means? Is that crossing over into upgrade one is not a full experience of salvation. It means there's more. If you said yes to Jesus, God's not done with you. You have had a small experience of salvation. You've had a partial experience of salvation, a partial experience with God, but there is more. Man, think about this. Newborn babies, they're alive, right? They were born and they are alive. But a newborn baby has not had a full experience of life, right? Nobody looks at a baby and said, man, you lived a good one. Fist bump. You had a great life. Because they've just started. They haven't really fully experienced what it means to be alive yet. And upgrade one is being born into a new relationship with God. But now God wants, he wants you to grow up with him. And he wants to guide you in this new life that you're growing in. Upgrade one is just the first step on the ladder. Now God, he wants you to climb, and he wants you to climb higher and higher and higher with him. And I think sometimes we tend to think that, again, heaven is the goal, heaven's the target, but that's the lowest bar. We think eternal life is this thing where it's like, oh, eternal life, I got eternal life in heaven, it's locked down. But that's not what eternal life means. I mean, Jesus talked about eternal life, and he said, no, this is what eternal life is. Eternal life is that they know God and that they know me who God sent. That's eternal life. Eternal life is not a quantity of life that we're going to experience someday. Eternal life is a quality of life that we experience now. And that's what God wants to begin doing in you through the act and the work of being sanctified and sanctification, transforming you. See, my cell phone is totally different than the day that I bought it. It's got the same glass, it's got the same backing, the same camera, same case, but everything inside my phone is completely different from the day I got it, because every time it asks me if I want to make an update, I say install now. And as a result, my phone works better. It functions the way it's supposed to. It's exactly what I need it and what I want it to be. And God has a life for you that's better than the life that you had yesterday and better than the life that you had the day before, because God wants to install updates in your life to make you more into the image of Jesus. Because here's the thing. God didn't just upgrade your hardware in your life and then say, go on your way. God upgraded it so that he could continue the process of improving the quality of your life by updating your holiness, by updating you into the image of Jesus every single day, by making sure that you would continue to keep being transformed on a daily basis. So Christian, are you struggling right now in life? Are you struggling because your life isn't working the way that you thought it was supposed to, or the way that you think it should? And are you struggling with God? I mean, are you at a place where you're even doubting God because, you know, your life just doesn't look the way it's supposed to, and things aren't working out the way that you expected or thought that they should? Is your life buggy and frustrating? Does it feel like your life just keeps crashing and you got to keep restarting it over and over again, even though you became a follower of Jesus? Do you feel stalled out and distant in your relationship with God? If any of those things describe what's happening in your life, it is very likely that you have been saying later to the updates that God has wanted to make in your life. And that every time God speaks into your life and he says, I got something new for you, I've got an update for you, you're clicking later it's not a good time, God. It's inconvenient for me right now, God. I'm too busy right now, God. I got too much on my mind right now, God. Later. And God's saying, listen, I've got a new step of obedience that I want you to take. And you're like, later. God's like, you know what? There's this area of sin in your life and you haven't totally dealt with it yet. And man, it's hurting you. It's hurting the people around you. And it's time for you to let that thing go. It's time for you to surrender that. And here's the thing, I know you want to keep doing that. I know you want that area of sin to keep existing in your life because you like it. But I'm asking you to update your life because I've got something better for you. And you're like, God, this is working for me right now. I mean, it's working right now, so later. God's asking you to make a sacrifice. God's asking you to give something up to him, or God's asking you to surrender something to him. Maybe it's in the area of your finances. Maybe it's in the area of letting go of a relationship that you know you need to let go of. And you're like, God, later. I really want that for myself, for my life, but no. And God's saying, I want you to put your needs, your wants, and your desires second. I want you to put others first. And you're like, I know that's good, God, and that's how I should live, but later. And every time we click later, it puts us farther and farther away from the life and the quality of life that God has for us to live. Because God's intention was never for us just to cross over into a new relationship with him and then, shake our hands off and call it good. God's intention for you was always for you to be transformed into his image, to become more and more like him, to be sanctified, to be holy, to not just be covered in Jesus's righteousness, but to be covered in Jesus's righteousness, becoming more and more like Jesus, because he wants you to have the best life possible. So Christian, be being transformed. Understand that the second upgrade that he wants for every follower of Jesus is being sanctified, being more like Jesus every single day, and clicking install now every single time that he pops that window up on the screen of your life. And I know this, today there are many people in this room and you know that God's been asking you to update. God's been asking you to update. You've been clicking later. You've been avoiding the install now because it's inconvenient, because it's hard, because it's scary. God's saying, you do this, your life's gonna function so much better than it did before if you just trust him, if you just say yes to Jesus. Upgrade one is saying yes to Jesus in a moment. Upgrade two, sanctification, is saying yes to Jesus every minute of every single day. Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you so much that you have more for us, God, than just the bare minimum of crossing over into heaven. And God, how awesome is that? That as amazing as what we expect and dream of heaven to be, that you have something that you believe is better for us. God, that it's not just heaven then, but that we can experience heaven now. And so Lord, I pray with every single person in this room who, like me, is a follower of Jesus, but has maybe had a hard time clicking install now when you've had updates for our lives, when you've asked us to take steps closer to you. And Lord, I just pray for each and every single one of us. God, I pray that you would give us the wisdom to know the right thing to do. And I pray that you would give us the courage to do that thing, knowing this, that you've called us to be set apart to you, completely yours and no one else's, to live a life sanctified to you. And I pray, Jesus, for anyone in this room, Father, who doesn't know you. God, I pray for anyone who's never taken that first spiritual upgrade, who's hearing this. And yet, Lord, you're speaking into their hearts, God, and they're looking at their life and they're going, "This, my life feels like a dead end." And everything you're talking about, that a life that's frustrated and buggy and isn't functioning the way it's supposed to, that's me and that's my life. And that person is hearing it and you're saying, "Jesus, I wanna follow you." Lord, I pray with them. God, I just pray that you would take my life. God, I acknowledge the fact that I'm a sinner. I got a broken life and I've got a broken relationship with you. And I want you to accept me without preconditions. I want you to love me without preconditions and welcome me into your presence. And so I accept what Jesus did when he died on the cross on my behalf. I accept this new life and I ask you to upgrade me, God, into something new, something better, and something different, and help me walk in this new life you have planned for me. Lord, we love you and we thank you, Jesus. We are so grateful for all you've done in us and all that you continue to do in us. And we just pray that you would continue to upgrade us and speak into our lives every single day. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.